You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Productions, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Steve Carden. This is Money. And this is radio, the way it should be heard. The jobless rates are down right now. Some of the lowest rates in the last 4 years since 2007. Today, 13 million Americans can't find jobs, however, and this is the number is 5.6 million fewer people working today than 4 years ago, when the unemployment rate was 5.8%. Right now, it's a little bit over 8.5. It's around that area right now. However, it does not take into account all those people who are out of the job market, or people who are not looking for the job market. And so, are you working? Are you looking for jobs? This is Where Are the Jobs Part 2. We hope to have a special guest today is Fred Wilkes from Ayers Staffing. We will look forward to hearing from him a little bit later on. However, in the event that we cannot, we will have him rescheduled. But before we move any further, of course, we always have This Week in Money with Drew.
Initial jobless claims fell to their lowest level, as Steve said, in 4 years. Another sign of improvement in the long-suffering labor market. The Labor Department reported that 352,000 people filed for initial unemployment benefits last week, down sharply from the revised 420,000 claims in the previous week. It is also the fewest number of filings for jobless claims since 2008 of April. Optimists look at this as a positive change, while skeptics are still concerned that progress is taking way too slowly, instead of rising fastly to meet the needs of the people. In other news, Newt Gingrich sought an open marriage. His former wife, Marianne, told ABC News in an interview airing tonight. Marianne Gingrich told ABC's Nightline that the former House Speaker asked her if she could remain married to him while he was still seeing other women. No comment from his current wife. However, she doesn't think Gingrich has the moral character to be president. But before experts were released of the interview, Gingrich dismissed the interview airing tonight as an old story that wasn't newsworthy. Coincidence that it's a campaign year and he's in the middle of a primary? Or was this done purposely? More about the fight of the century between the Republicans. Mitt Romney is slightly ahead of Newt Gingrich in the ultra-conservative state of South Carolina. However, it seems as if he may be fearful that Gingrich kicked to overtake him in the conservative state. Therefore, he has increased his efforts to discredit his GOP rival. And some great news, maybe not so much for the entertainment industry, but great news for those of you, and we won't say any names, who are illegally downloading movies and music. Even though the entertainment industry has been aggressively campaigning for stricter anti-piracy laws, their efforts have had little effect on congressional leaders. Many of them have dropped support for the anti-piracy bills currently on the table due to online campaigns headed by Wikipedia and Craigslist, Google and Facebook, amongst others. Wow, we live in a different time in this digital age when people who illegally or steal from the entertainment industry have the power to determine what their punishment is, if there is any punishment at all. That's This Week in the News with Drew. Make sure to follow us on Money Talk Live on Twitter or Money Talk Live on Facebook, or you can follow me on EMC Alliance on Twitter. And back to you, Steve.
Well, Drew, thanks a lot. We do have the primaries coming up this week. You know, Rick Perry did drop out. He made an announcement today, and he's back in Newt Gingrich. And so that's going to continue to follow those trends in money and politics. And, you know, we got the presidential election coming up this this year as well. So we're going to be talking about that whole spectrum of money and politics and super PACs and ads and those types of things. And so, you know, as it relates to money and politics, you want to watch this primary in South Carolina, because it's going to be a telltale as to where we are going, you know, in the next primary in Florida. We also have today with us Jamal Titus. Jamal is a financial consultant. He does workshops. He has years of experience in financial literacy. He has unique perspectives on debt reduction, budgeting, and all those types of things that individuals need to know in terms of their financial health. And he has a really good perspective on that as well. And Jamal Titus is going to be bringing us Know Your Money in a few minutes. But we would like to say welcome to Jamal. And Jamal heard last week's show as it relates to jobs, which, you know, was a concentration that we wanted to talk about today, if we are able to have our special guest on today as well. But Jamal had listened to last week's show, and he had told me that he said, you know, I have a unique perspective about the job market and where things are going. So with that being said, Drew, we got Jamal with us. And Jamal, I am really anxious to hear, and the listeners are, what your perspective was after you listened to last week's show.
Oh, okay. Well, after listening to last week's show, one of the things that I realized is, you know, there's a lot of jobs out there. You talked about specific markets and industries. And something that I picked up from somewhere, I can't remember where, but they were saying that compared to, like, the Depression time and even the last recession time, that fewer people are actually moving to areas where there are job opportunities out here. And it's just kind of an interesting perspective, because either we have to move with, you know, where the jobs are, or we're going to have to retrain ourselves, you know, to fit into the current market that we're trying to stay in.
You know, Jamal, you know, we've talked about that quite a bit on this show, and Drew especially has brought that up on This Week in Money, because out in the panhandle, if I'm not mistaken, is it South Dakota, Montana, those areas where the unemployment rates are around 3 to 4%, and they can't find enough people to work. And even people working in McDonald's are making $15 to $18 an hour, and so jobs that are traditionally, you know, is way above the national average. And so I remember when I had lost my position several years ago in the banking arena, and that was a question that was posed to me by a good friend of mine. And he said, you know, are you willing to move? And that was the decision I had to make, is that, you know, I was not going to move, you know, out of state. But it's something that, like you said, you know, either you have to move to where the jobs are, or retrain yourself. And I think a lot of people, that's one of the biggest gaps, Drew, is the retraining. And, you know, if I was to start all over again, I think, you know, perhaps, you know, I might have, you know, I did retrain in some areas, but in terms of giving other people advice, because, you know, a lot of people, it's you know, it was a stunning tragedy, so to speak. It hit like the tsunami, you know, a hurricane, or it wasn't something that was gradual. You know, September 2008, you know, everything just stopped in its tracks, you know. And so, you know, and then you got the European crisis, and everything's just on a global basis. You know, jobs were just gone. And then one of the more interesting statistics I had mentioned earlier, that's there's 5.6 million fewer people working now than it was 4 years ago. Almost 6 million people who are no longer working, that was working, you know, up to 4 years ago. Now, what do you do? You know, we talked about this last week. You know, and so when you hit that tragic situation where you lost your job, you've been laid off, and your life is upside down, you know, and you've been doing something for 10 years, can you retrain? You know, is that something that, you know, it's still, you know, it's like having an illness, or he had to rehab and all those types of things. And that's probably something that, you know, if I was to be on top of that, I would let people know you got to retrain. You got to get out there and do something different because, you know, a lot of times people let their lives, their egos, their careers on one path, and then when that goes away, they get lost. And so with that retraining, you know, a lot of people have gone back to school. I know plenty of people who have gone back to school, but what about those who haven't even thought about it? And what about those who, you know, maybe didn't get training to begin with, you know, who had a particular job, you know, say like some type of administrative job where you didn't really have to get schooling for it? Or what if you're, you know, at that middle age where you're, you know, early 50s, where, you know, you worked in a manufacturing place where you didn't have to have, you know, associate or bachelor's or master's degree or even some type of certificate. And now all of a sudden you're being told you have to retrain. And so, Jamal, I like what you said in terms of, you know, either do you move or do you get retrained? And so I personally think a lot of people don't even, you know, in most cases don't even realize that there's retraining available.
Well, the thing is, a lot of people realize it's there, but they got to get over the initial shock of, like you said, 10 years is a great example. There are people who are getting laid off after 8, 9, 10, 16 years. So there's that initial shock. I have been a person, and let's just say it's an unskilled labor job of what is classified. Maybe I'm an administrator, okay? I've been doing that for all these years, and that's all I know to do, and now I've just been released. I've been released from that call center, and that's all I've known to do. I've never had the opportunity to train for something or the desire. First of all, people have to understand, Steve, in the age of our parents, you worked 40 or more years, you retired, you had a retirement party, you had a gold watch. Those days are gone. You need to have a 1099 mentality. And I think Robert Kiyosaki teaches that when he talks about the four quadrants like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, those series that he talks about. You have to be an independent contractor mindset. As soon as you get a new position and you have mastered the skills of that position, you need to actively, aggressively be looking for, not necessarily to move somewhere else for another position, but to acquire the skills for another position. Don't assume that there aren't going to be changes that are going to affect you. Finally, as stubborn as some of us are, and as comfortable as some of us are, we have to accept the fact that we're going to always be training. Don't wait till you get laid off or let go to start training. Now, unfortunately, Steve, that doesn't help the people that are already there. The mess is up. The milk has been spilled. So what can we do? The first and foremost thing that they need to do, aside from just get a job. And while you got a job, the first job that comes along, okay, depending on how long you've been unemployed, then find what it is you want to do or what you can do in your area and go learn those skills.
Hey, Drew, you know what I'm going to do, you know, based on what you're saying. You know, the thing is, each year that you're unemployed, there's still another year where the young people are getting older. And so, you know, that's that dynamic. You know, if you're 50, you're going to be 51, and that young person who's 27 is going to be 28. And so, you know, the older you get, the further and further away you're going to be from that, from the job market. And that's something I like to touch on, a little bit later. As a matter of fact, that's going to be one of the first things I want to talk about. But, you know, you have Jamal Titus who's going to be doing Know Your Money. And, you know, Jamal has a really unique aspect on how to look at goals and so forth in terms of 2012, what you should look out for your personal finances. And so we're looking forward to have Jamal Titus right now, and he's going to do Know Your Money.
Okay. Today we're going to talk about setting financial goals. And why should we even set a goal? You know, the question becomes, do you control your money, or is your money controlling you, or is someone else controlling your money? So one way you can tell is by whether or not you've set some goals. You know, maybe you haven't done that in 2011 or 2010, but now it's 2012. If you want something different for your life, you got to do things differently. So I'm going to just go through three different points as to some areas that you want to set some financial goals in. The first would be for retirement. You know, how much money are you going to need per month for retirement? When are you going to retire? You know, you can figure out your yearly income from that point. And then even this year, you want to make sure that you take the time to contribute to your 401k. You know, especially a lot of companies have gone back to matching. You know, that's free money that you have. Once you start contributing to your 401k with your employer, you know, you might want to do some sort of IRA. But you want to start to have compound interest working on your side. So you want to go ahead and set that first financial goal dealing with retirement, and then how much money are you going to put away this year in 2012. Then the next thing you want to consider is how much money are you going to pay down on your debt that you have out there. So why would you want to pay down your debt? Well, number one, it's going to lower your stress level, you know, make it a whole lot easier for your household. It will also free up more money to help you to reach that retirement sort of a number. And excuse me. And so as you free up the money, though, too, you start to recognize that this debt does not just represent, you know, money that you owe to a creditor of some sort, but it actually also represents the compound interest working against you, you know, causing you to pay more. And then also that lost opportunity for that money to actually be working for you, you know. So you want to figure out even this year, how much money are you going to pay down on your debt? The last thing that you also want to consider is to increase your financial IQ. So as it was already mentioned, you might want to pick up a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, read some articles. Of course, you've been listening to this program as often as you do, you know, once a week, money. And you just want to continue to educate yourselves, because you work too hard for your money not to have it work hard for you also. And then also not to pay attention and make sure that you're not paying too much for things, you know, as you go out here into the marketplace. You also want to make sure that your money is working as hard as possible for you in the different sort of investment products and vehicles that you have out there, you know, because once again, like I said, you work too hard for your money not to pay attention to it. So just like if you don't have plans for your own money, guess what? The cable companies got plans for your money. Huh. The phone companies got plans for your money. The insurance companies got plans for your money. Everybody else has plans for your money, but do you have plans for your money? And the way that you'll be able to do that is by setting some financial goals. And you just want to start. You just want to start by doing that, you know, and then as you start to take a little more control, because I'm going to tell you this, one of the things that I realized is that, you know, my great-grandfather only had a sixth grade education, but he was able to pay for two houses with cash, and he would buy a brand new car every other year with cash. So even though he didn't have a formal education, he understood money. So now you want to make sure that you set goals for your money. So back to you, Steve.
Well, Jamal, thank you very much for Know Your Money. And one thing he said, Drew, was, are you working hard for the money, or is the money working for you? And that's going to be a problem for Rick Romney, in this, he's in the top 1%, so we'll be talking about that later.
Absolutely.
We're going to continue to talk about jobs, and so you stay right there. Are you unemployed? Are you an older person that's out there looking for a job? Stay right there. We'll discuss that next. This is Steve, and this is Money.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks. Just move to the beat. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching on my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it.
But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
My name is Ruth Rusey. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps, life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Looks them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRIS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Steve Carter, and this is Money, and this is radio the way it should be heard. If you want to join in on this conversation, call 1-877-932-9766. And always remember, you can follow us on Money Talk Live on Facebook, or Money Talk Live, follow us on Twitter. So, you know, we've been talking about the job market, and at the very beginning of the show, I had mentioned that there is 5.6 million less people working today than it was in 2007. We also talked about, in terms of the current trends, the job market is getting a little bit better. It's at its lowest since 2007 as well. However, does that really, you know, mean a lot in terms of forecast, and what are the experts saying, and should we feel good about it? But you know, the one thing that people are saying is that you got to account for those people who are no longer able or no longer looking for a job. Some people are being locked out, and so we want to relate that point back to Jamal, because Jamal had a very interesting Know Your Money segment, and he talked about, you know, having a goal. You know, are you working hard for the money? Is the money working hard for you? And Drew, I want to, you know, get back to Mitt Romney in terms of, you know, what he's doing, because we want to get onto that too, on money and politics. But Jamal, you know, the thing is, you know, as I was listening to your segment, which I really appreciate you bringing up, the thing that that really matters is how you manage your money also can protect you. Well, not protect you, but at least prepare you or help buffer in the case you do have job loss. So if you are paying down your debt, if you do have savings, if you are contributing to your 401k, you know, and like a lot of people, not just a few, but a lot of people were faced with these issues. So we like to make sure those who are listening, you know, to take heed of that, because, you know, even the government is trimming jobs. You know, it used to be where if you worked for, you know, the state or the city or even the federal government, you know, the only time you lost your job is when, you know, you're no longer here on this earth, you know. And so that's not the case anymore. And with the current political climate, you know, government jobs are going to continue to be lost. And so as opposed to just going day to day as you normally have been doing, you know, I like to let people know to listen to what Jamal is saying in terms of preparing yourself. So, Jamal, you know, in one respect, we're talking about people are out of jobs, and so there's no money there, you know. So, you know, that's a whole nother discussion as to how do you hang on, you know. But in respect to those people who are hanging on right now, because they may have a spouse that's unemployed, Drew. you know, or, you know, one of the two or something like that is going on. Or they may have inadequate health insurance. And so those types of things will happen to people. And so, you know, Jamal, based on what you're saying, what's some of your thoughts on those people who are, you know, struggling? And do you agree in terms of it's really important for those who are working to manage their goals? Not only, you know, you are saying, okay, you want to have, you set those goals, but you also have to have a goal. What if I lose my job?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we have failed to do and learn adequately while we were gainfully employed is to plan for a time of unemployment. Because even if you look at it, especially in the African-American community, we've never had a 0 or 100% employment rate. You know, now we have a large number of individuals that are unemployed. But see, recently I have not experienced this unemployment, but I experienced it during a time frame where everything was supposed to be going very well. So I learned back when I was 26, when I was laid off from my job, that I was of the mindset I would never allow my employer to really have as much control over my household finances as what happened to me at that time frame. So because of that, you know, I do have a little bit of a unique experience of looking out outside ventures that I could be done part-time while I was employed. So that, you know, recognizing also that our parents were always taken care of by employers, and that's not the case anymore. We've got to take care of ourselves, and we've got to take the small steps that we can take at those times in order to do that.
Yeah, Drew, you know, the thing that was we're talking about, he's saying, you know, there was a dynamic, you know, and we talk about that tirelessly, you know. I want to just keep moving on to where we are today, you know, because everybody says, okay, back when. But, you know, now, you know, if you're going to have financial goals, just, you know, based on what Jamal is telling us, you know, how much money you're going to make, how much you're going to save, how much debt you're going to pay off, and how much you're going to invest. You know, are you working hard for the money, or is the money working for you? You know, is the money working for you? Obviously, right now in this climate, you know, we don't know where the money's working, and, you know, for the average person. And so now there's a whole nother dynamic. You need to protect yourself, have emergency funds. Probably at least, you know, the first thing that I would recommend people do as it relates to jobs, those who are working, you know, you're not secure probably until you have at least 6 to 12 months worth of money set aside. You know, put it away in a safe, do something with it. But, you know, what if you lose your job, you know, and just because you lose your job does not necessarily mean you're going to get unemployment. And so that's another thing that we're talking about, where are the jobs, you know, just, you know, you may lose it. But there is a effort, a concerted effort, to deny unemployment claims for people because there's just simply not enough money out there. You know, the government, they will do all they can. Obama's going to do all he can. But the fact remains is that the money is being cut all over the place and fewer people are even getting unemployment claims. So with that being said, you know, you need, you know, we all need to be in a position where we protect ourselves from the possible job loss. Now, once you get to that point, then you can start to look at everything else. But, you know, you can pay down debt and you can do all those things, but if you don't have a job, all of a sudden everything explodes.
Well, now, here's another thing. We all alluded to at some point during this episode about people retraining their mind. That's sometimes hard, sometimes easy, but here's something even harder. What if the person's unemployed and they've exhausted their 6 months of savings? Now we're talking about we've got to change our physical circumstances. Do my wife and I need to move in with my mother-in-law? Because we can't afford a $2,800 mortgage payment. That's high. We're just going to go average. $1,100 mortgage payment anymore. Okay, so now, because the unemployment was denied, or you've been out of job, you've been out of work for in excess of 8 or 9 months, you've outlived your savings. Not only do you have to change your mindset, but you have to have a plan B in case I can't afford my lifestyle. So let me just briefly talk to the people who are working. I think, Steve, everyone right now that is working, unless they're Oprah Winfrey rich, need to start living beneath their means. Let's get rid of the direct TV with all the premium channels. Okay? And just let's say it's going to be HBO and the digital package. Let's not have a DVR in every room. Let's not have the $500 cell phone with unlimited data. Let's do as the Wall Street Journal suggests and get a Nokia $50 phone until times arise again where the economy is booming, jobs are aplenty. I'm not saying it's okay ever to be frivolous, but maybe we even need to change our physical circumstances just to make it through the retraining process.
Now, Drew, you know, for those who are looking to hear an expert on jobs, Fred Wilkes of Air Staffing, you know, they had a situation, you know, at their company, and he could not make it today. So for all those who are looking to hear from Fred, we do ask that you look for us again, because we are going to bring him back. Jobs are important, and we don't want to position ourselves as the resident experts in employment. What we do here at Money is to bring you experts to talk about those things. And so, but, you know, in my discussions with Fred, you know, coming here during the week, he did say one thing that was really important, because the one thing that we like to do is to hear from the experts and see what they're saying. And one thing that Fred talked about, he said, you know, if you were making $75,000 a year at one point, or $80,000 a year at one point, and you're at that place and you find that you've lost that job, you know, you may have to, you know, come to terms with that you may not get that $75,000 job again, and that you're going to have to not only, we talked about retraining and changing your mindset, but you may have to, you know, start to deal with the fact, like Jamal said, if you're not going to move, if you're going to stay here, that, you know, the market for you now may only be $45,000, because, you know, you're competing against the young MBAs that are coming out of school. You're competing against the young business administration majors that are coming out of school. You're competing against the young people who have degrees in, you know, medical technology, or, you know, and so all of those types of things you're competing against. And so you may have, you know, a lot of experience, but the market is not the same as it used to be. And the corporate world does know that. So it's not that you're not marketable. It's not that you can't get a job. It's just that, you know, things have tightened up. You know, careers have to change. And so at the same time, your marketability may not be the same as it used to be. And you may have to accept a 30 to 40% pay cut. And most of us will do that, but, you know, it's a lot easier said than done, Jamal. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. We deal with change every day, but we fight against it every day. You know, we go out here, you know, I love to be able to run up and down the basketball court like I did when I was 18, you know, but now that I'm just north of 40, you know, I can't do that no more. So in the same instance, we have to go back and analyze, you know, our skills. If we have a job right now, if our employer is providing additional trainings of some sort to enrich you, to make you more valuable, hey, you might want to take the time to invest in that. You know, you might, and all it would cost you is some time, because your employer is taking care of the expense of some of these things.
Now, you know, Drew, as I mentioned to you before, I'll make sure I wanted to come back. It is a dynamic for any of those who are listening to us right now. If you're in your late 40s or early 50s, you know, each year you're getting a year older, and then that young person is getting a year older, and that young person is getting more experience as well.
Yep.
And so it is a recognized fact, you know, that people when in their early 50s or late 40s, they are a discriminated class right now as it relates to employment. That is a fact. And so, you know, people are having to adjust their resumes and not show the extensive experience they have. And so that being said right now, Drew, you know, something that we talk about a lot, and I think it's a tough subject to deal with, but people, like you said, you may have to be a 1099 person. You may have to look in terms of self-employment. And I'm not talking about multi-level marketing.
Exactly.
You know, or some juice or some type of digital phone systems or something like that, but something that's real. Something that, you know, you can market yourself, you have skills, you've worked all these years. There's something that you can do that can, you know, produce some type of employment, even if you have to work with somebody. And, to, you know, there's a lot of training out there, Small Business Administration, SCORE, you know, retired executives, and there's all types of nonprofit programs that help people become entrepreneurs. And it's something that we're not accustomed to doing, but we may have to get used to that. So, you know, for the older generation, you know, it seems that in terms of we say, where are the jobs? Well, the one thing that Jamal loves to talk about is, you know, in this time of joblessness and the recession, that there were more millionaires created during this period than ever before. And that's a hard subject for me to talk to everybody about because everybody is in a struggling place. But Jamal told me the other day that there is hope. Is that right, Jamal?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things, just out here talking to individuals, I came across where people are making money by uploading content to the Amazon Kindle platform. So if you like to do ebooks or certain other things, you know, that's something that you could do on your own. You take the time to do the research. You sign up for the account for free. You can get your content together. It could be as few as two or three pages, up to, you know, people who like to write. So there are a lot of opportunities in certain industries. I've come across energy companies that are considered to be green, you know, and that sort of technology. But until we get out and we start talking to people, it's not so much about, I heard someone say, it used to be, it's not what you know, but who you know. But you have to take that a step further from this individual. They said, it's about who knows you. So you need to let people know what you're out here looking for and certain other things, because as you network with individuals, you don't know what you may run into.
Well, Steve, you made a great point about people needing to reinvent themselves. Now, everybody is not entrepreneurial material. Okay. We can't have everybody being a chief and there's no Indians. Now, when you talk about older people, and there's just certain a sect of people that are the hardest to retrain. Not saying older people are, but there are people that are resistant to being training. They don't necessarily have to go into business for themselves, but I go back to that Robert Kiyosaki 1099 type of mentality. You can hire yourself out. What if that administrative assistant that we talked about earlier was laid off? There's nothing stopping her from approaching Steve and his agency and say, hey, I know you can't hire me full time, but how about I come in 2 days a week and at 4 hours a day at $12 an hour and I knock this out for you. And she's doing that for eight other people like Steve. And she's been almost able to meet her income. Little things like that and the suggestion that you just made are tangible. Because when we talk about people going into business, then there's laws that they need to protect themselves. There's taxes that they have to, they don't even know which business to start. And that may overwhelm someone who was just displaced. So with that being said, in our next segment is going to be the Money Roundtable.
Yeah, looking forward to the Money Roundtable. And this week, more than 20 people will die in their homes because cigarettes weren't put out properly. If you smoke, be sure you put it out all the way. This message from the United States Fire Department Administration, your local fire department, and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcast for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be.
Job School Day Students Community. High 7 the Classroom 1000 America Attendance. Quit Variety Day of Reasons. Job Like to Get. Baby Raisa. Relative Help and Elderly. Happening local on its a level. Catastrophe International.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. It doesn't make sense to us either. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion. Realize check mechanism.
I should kill a for rat. It's not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. Stack their desks one atop the other, and it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. Go to boostup.org and learn how you can help. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Steve Carter, and this is Money. This is radio the way it should be heard. You can always follow us on Money Talk Live on Facebook or Twitter at Money Talk Live. We have Jamal Titus with us. Jamal Titus is a financial analyst. He's a planner. He does lots of workshops, and we're glad to have him here. And he gave us a wonderful Know Your Money segment, and we love to have him back. Because he does workshops, he has unique ways to help people look at their finances. And he said, "Are you working for the money? Is the money working for you? And if money's working for you, he'll even give you better ways for that money to work for you as well." So we're glad we have him there. And of course, we do have Drew, who is our resident contributor, who everybody knows as he does This Week in Money, and he stays on top of everything. And people listen every week to Drew because he is on top of what's going on This Week in Money. And most people, and Drew, I know that a lot of people get their money news from you, so we are so proud to have you here today. Now, this is our segment on the Money Roundtable, and we were talking about jobs, and did not get a chance to have Fred Wilkes with us today, and we are going to bring him back because we do bring on resident experts, and we are not going to pretend like we are the job experts as well, but we do our research, and so I'm glad that we talked about that earlier. Now, you know, the one thing that we talked about, because it related to jobs, you know, in terms of money and politics, was real interesting. Mitt Romney is in the midst of the South Carolina primary. And so the Republicans are down there, and they're talking about various ways that, you know, they contrast, you know, President Obama and the Democrats and so forth. And one thing that's slipping past them right now is the fact that the economy seems to be moving in a better direction. So, but then again, you have Mitt Romney saying that he is the person to bring jobs and, you know, but the problem is, he said a couple of things actually over the past couple of days, which, you know, people need to pay attention to because, he's let it known in two ways that he really may not be in touch, you know, with the electorate. You know, unemployment rate in South Carolina is over 9%. So he's almost 10%.
One of the highest in the country.
Yeah, one of the highest in the country. And the one thing that he said, because they were pressing him on his tax returns, and so when you're running for public office, for example, Obama gave 10 years worth of returns. McCain, you know, when he ran election a few years ago, he gave up 10 years returns. So a lot of people are giving up the returns. But Mitt Romney, as it relates to the 1% and the 99%ers in the Occupy Wall Street, he let it, you know, he leaked it on his own because they're being pressed with it. And it wasn't a, they said it was a slip. It wasn't a slip, you know, because they're going to be bring it out now and get it out the way. But he said he's effectively only paying 15% taxes. And he said up to. So it's really don't know that it's really going to be 15%. Now, what's the clamor behind 15% tax rate? You know, most of us are in the 25 to 35% range, which is pretty tough. But the fact that he's only paying 15%, I want to be paying 15%. So I'm not mad at him for that. What the issue is that he is making, reason why he's at 15% is because the majority of his income is coming from interest and profits, capital gains from his investments. So if he's worth, if he has, you know, in his state right now, he has investments and money stashed in the Cayman Islands and various investment vehicles, again, which is good. That's, you know, good for him. But so if he's worth $250 million, per se, he may be making, you know, $1 or $2 million a year just off of that income.
Interest alone.
You know, and so the point is, you know, with the Congress and all the laws that have been taking place, you know, they were asking, you know, take, you know, cut taxes on that kind of money. So he's been in place to take advantage of a lot of what the Republicans and, you know, have put in place to take, to, put it, make it better for the 1%. So all of that's getting ready to come out. So here you are, you want to be president of the United States where the average income is $47,000 across the board and you're only paying 15% taxes. And the other slip he made was, well, the other money I made, which I, you know, was speaking fees and wasn't that much, and it turned out to be over close to $350,000. So it was over $250,000 that he made just on speaking fees alone, where his average speaking fee is anywhere between $25,000 to $46,000.
I remember reading about that.
And so what's going on in terms of, you know, the money roundtable is that, you know, can you really be a president? Maybe you can be a president for the one percenters. Maybe you can be a president for those who just aspire to be you. But the average person is going to be something that is going to be a very big hot button. And I'm thinking down the line it's really going to hurt him. I think, you know, people who are in the Republican Party, people who promote Republicans, which is fine. We're not political here. But still, you got to look at the facts. You know, am I going to vote for a guy who's, you know, making that kind of money? He has no clue what I'm going through.
And see, what makes it worse for him, he's in a working class state that's also conservative. And they are under the impression, many of them are probably thinking, how can this guy relate to me? And if you notice, people often vote for people that are like them, right, wrong, or indifferent. The Iowa caucus is nowhere near the South Carolina primaries. Same country, different cultures. Not that Iowa doesn't have working class people. And remember, he was the governor of Massachusetts, a totally different state from South Carolina. Okay, a more liberal state than South Carolina.
More educated. And better job market.
Better job market. So, you know, he ran a state that is totally different. You have to have a totally different mindset to represent South Carolinians.
And I would just hope that all of us would take away that, you know, number one is him being the governor. You know, the individuals in Congress and in the Senate, they're the ones that have created these laws and passed these laws. And that we need to really understand what's going on. Because somebody has put this stuff in play And as it was already mentioned that, you know, you can't really fault somebody for taking advantage of it, but we got to go back and exercise our right to vote. If we want to change this thing, then we need to get on board and understand what's going on and vote for those individuals that will change the way the things are to the way that we want them to be.
Go ahead, Jim. And even hold those people accountable. That's another thing that we're not doing. I think you guys would agree with that is we are letting people tell us what they're going to do, and we're putting them in office, but we're not holding them accountable for what they told us that they were going to do. If you can remember George Bush Sr., he ran on the "I'm the healthcare president." That was his campaign. We never held him to that, and I'm not attacking him, but when he was in office, what did he do for healthcare? It was Clinton and Gore who came in trying to fulfill some of what George Bush had promised us through the campaign, and I'm just using this as an example. So too many times do we allow our candidates to tell us what they're going to do. We put them in office, we complain about what they don't do, and we don't hold them accountable. So that's the other part of it.
Yeah, we're going to continue in weeks to come talking about money and politics, but, you know, when we're talking, let's keep track of that. You know, next show, we're going to see where Mitt Romney is and how, you know, the disclosure of his tax returns and his income, how that's going to impact his election coming up. You know, Jamal had made a very good point earlier about, you know, are you working for the money or is it working for you? I'm going to bring up something different in transition in our money roundtable because I want to talk about Kodak. And so the point I want to say is businesses don't, in general, and anybody who's hearing this, businesses do not fail in general. If you got a good restaurant, you got some good food, people are going to come and eat. Mm-hmm. But what happened is people fail businesses. And so that person who has that nice restaurant, and they go out and they get the you know, they don't use the money management tools that Jamal states, you know, and then all of a sudden they can't meet their obligations with that restaurant and say, man, that restaurant is gone, and I don't know why they're gone because I still would have contributed. Well, it's businesses generally don't fail. It's people fail the businesses. And with that transition, it's incredible because, Drew, you brought up in This Week in Money several times about Kodak filing bankruptcy Chapter 13 protection. And so here it is, Kodak used to be the Apple of the world, used to be the Microsofts of the world, and here we are in this country where Kodak is filing for protection. But here's my point. Kodak invented the digital camera.
Something we all use
Kodak
in this studio.
Kodak invented the digital camera, and they did not, you know, Kodak invented the mouse. I don't know if you know that. And it was Steve Jobs that took the, who bought the patent from Kodak and put it on the market. So Kodak has a lot of patents, and they're trying to sell a lot of their patents, but not a lot of people are buying because they're probably charging too much. But one of the things that Kodak did is they invented the digital camera, and they did not put it out because at the time they were so focused on their labs and the film industry they were in that they felt that would take away from their core product. And so here a company who invented the digital camera did not come out with it, and now here they are behind the ball, behind the ball and lost money, people lost jobs. So a lot of times businesses don't fail, people fail the business.
Great point. We used to never think of a picture without thinking about what? Kodak. Right. We don't think of fast food without thinking of who?
McDonald's.
We don't think about shopping without thinking about the big W, Walmart.
Yeah.
Okay? And the thing is with that, Steve, you're absolutely right. MySpace is another big example. Social media was brought to us by MySpace.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Facebook is pretty much the same thing as MySpace, but they're successful in MySpace, isn't. And it goes back to what all three of us said earlier about retraining yourself. But it goes back to your segment, Know Your Money. You need to anticipate the need before it arises.
Mm-hmm.
You said the same thing, Steve, when you talked about saving. And They invented the digital camera. They let it sit there.
Here's another. Here's something that I want everybody to watch out for, because this is what we do on Money, is to let people know. And a lot of times we let people know ahead of time. We're always sometimes on the cutting edge of what's going on. Another another business you want to look out for is Barnes & Noble's.
Okay.
Now, why is that? Barnes & Noble's is all over the place. Well, the problem is the Internet has changed the dynamic of how people, one, are reading books and how they are purchasing books. And so Barnes & Noble's right now is sitting on millions of space. Millions of space in terms of their stores. And so they're just sitting there. And so people are not going to the big box store anymore, because they can find that same book or search for a book on Amazon. Amazon is up 40%, you know, in terms of their Internet sales. And you have Barnes & Noble's that has these big box stores, and there's unusable space right now. So they have the liability, the leases, and all that expenses, and their sales are dramatically dropping. So it's places like that have to understand that, you know, they have to change how they're doing things.
Or they'll become like Blockbuster. Blockbuster faced that same situation with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix didn't have the brick and mortar liability, as Steve just mentioned. So it's the same situation. Will Barnes & Nobles anticipate the need before they become Blockbuster or Hollywood Video? That's the question.
Yeah, and even like Redbox. Redbox came in and blew Blockbuster out. But it comes back to change. We deal with change every single day.
And we fight.
And we fight against it
like
every
that.
Single day. So we need to get on the right side of the fight.
Yes. Now, Sears is another store. Another big box store that's really in trouble too. So we got Barnes & Noble, and let's look for Sears as well. Sears already announced that they're going to close up to 120 stores. Now Sears, the problem with Sears was that an investment company took it over, and they dealt with, you know, you heard that term vulture,
the vulture rule, something like that.
Yeah,
I know
what I'm saying. Vulture investments, Vector equity investments, that type of thing, in terms of that term was vulture capitalism that was termed by Perry against Mitt Romney. And so that's exactly what happened to Sears, that equity firm bought it out, and they did not reinvest in the actual store. They just tried to manage it and cut costs to get better shareholder value. And so they're looking to take whatever value they have. And now you have a stalwart like Sears that's going to be in trouble itself, because all they had to do was just get better product. You know, Sears was not a business that was going under. It's just the people failed the business. So you got Sears, you got Barnes & Noble's. You know, those are two places that you want to keep looking at in terms of, you know, down the line, you know, where they're at.
Two iconic businesses. So we're definitely going to watch that. Any significant changes, obviously we're going to report them on Money. And
Jamal, we certainly do appreciate you being with us today. Now, do you do workshops, or you got a workshop coming up at all? Or?
Yeah, actually I do. I have a workshop coming up at the Reynoldsburg Library. That's on Saturday the 28th. I'm actually going to run it from 9:30 to 12:30. I do ask that you either look for my Maximize Your Money page on Facebook in order to just respond, because seating is limited, or either go to a meetup, and it's under Ascend Network that's hosted.
Okay, so we hope people heard that, and we certainly appreciate you being here. Drew, it's been a pleasure having you here today. We talked about jobs. We talked about the trends. And hopefully we'll have Fred Wilkes with us again. We will reschedule him. And next week, Cash In on Money. This is Steve Carter, and this is Talktainment Radio, the radio the way it should be heard.
You've been listening to Money with Steve Carter, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
Money, 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 money.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM.
Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkPlanetRadio.com.
We've got the power. Radio, the way it should be heard.